The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, it's quite hot, isn't it? There we are. That's got the small talk out of the way. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. It's the final episode of this series. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you've enjoyed this series. I've had so much fun making this show for the last few weeks. What fantastic guests we've had on. If you haven't had a chance to listen to some of the episodes, then do have a look back. You've got time on your hands now after we finish this series. You may have just heard a little sting at the beginning. I hope you have. I hope the technology is working. We have now enabled the supporter function, thanks to the wonderful geniuses at Acast, which allows you to chuck us a bit of cash. So maybe, end of series, you're feeling generous. You're like, oh, I quite enjoyed that. Here's a pound. Do you know what? If everyone who listens to this gives me a pound, then I will have £6, and that'll be great. So that would be amazing. Whatever you can spare. It's a feature. There's a link on the show description, and you can click on it. It only takes a second to do. So that's that bit done. Now, other bit of business before we get on with today's show. It is, of course, Wednesday the 21st of July today. That's when we're dropping this episode. If you're listening in the future, hello! Tomorrow, on Thursday the 22nd, it's the beginning of the Latitude Festival, and I am going to be there, and I cannot wait. And I know a few of you have got in touch with me on Twitter. A few of you are going to be there as well, which is lush. So please come and say hi. It'd be really nice to meet some listeners. So it's tomorrow night. It's the first night of Latitude, Thursday night. That's right. The night when everyone's stuck in traffic and setting up tents. That's when they're going to put me on. I'm quite a big deal. I've got a brilliant guest, though. Mark Watson is going to be joining me. And it's so much fun doing this show live. Honestly, we basically plug my laptop into the big screen and you can see Mark Watson's Amazon history live. If that floats your boat and you're coming to Latitude, 9:05 at the listing post on Thursday night, it would be fantastic to see you there. I'm really looking forward to giving Mark Watson's shopping history a right good going over. Right. Shall we finish this series of My Mate Bought a Toaster in style with the very funny, the very eloquent, the very beautiful, the very brilliant Julian Clary? It was a Zoom call for this episode, and there was a wonderful interruption straight off the bat. It got off to the most deliriously professional start, as all these podcasts always do.
Hang on. I'm terribly sorry. There's someone at the front door now.
That's fine. I'll come on your life with you. I like this.
It's the postman. Thank you very much. I expect some people you interview are quite professional.
No, not really, Julian. This is about par for the course, to be honest. Now, please tell me that's an Amazon delivery you've got there.
No, it's got my name on it.
Live unboxing on the show, seeing as we are recording. This is what people watch on YouTube for hours, you know. This is what the kids are doing these days.
Let me get a knife.
Okay, so Julian has a knife. He is attacking the box that he's just had delivered. I mean, obviously, we should be, you know, about halfway through the podcast recording by now, but, you know.
That's fine. I don't think I've ordered anything, so.
Oh, it'll be a freebie, some sort of surprise thing.
Oh, God. It's a load of dog things.
Oh.
And the message says, something for everyone in the house.
Ah. Well, that's going to include humans.
Werther's Originals, sweets, dog biscuits, salted caramel, a dog toy, Maltesers. Oh, I know who it's from. And
is it from?
My father-in-law.
Oh, bless him. Is it just a...
I don't know why.
Just a package of general love, basically.
Yes. How sweet.
That's glorious. He sent you some Werther's Originals.
Well, that's the joke entry, I think.
Oh, I love a proper package. That's the sort of thing that you send to someone in prison, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And who knows what his thinking was. You know, it's a sort of box of comforting things. What is it for? It's not my birthday. It's not my husband's birthday. I don't know.
Recording My Mate Bought a Toaster. That's a big day in everyone's life. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe. I keep forgetting I'm on a podcast.
Ooh, my mate bought a toaster.
Hello, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Today, I've got one of the most brilliant guests I've ever had on the show. I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome the comedy icon, that is Julian Clary. Hello, comedy icon Julian Clary. Is that okay, comedy icon? Do we like that?
Yes, no, I can swallow that. Thank you very much.
Thank God.
And you're called Tom, are you?
Yeah, podcasting icon.
Okay, right. Well, that's something nice for you.
It is nice for me. And you were alluding to the fact just before we started recording that you haven't done many podcasts. You're aware that they're out there, but you haven't done too many.
No, I mean, it just feels like a sort of free show, which it is. And I get the gist of it, but what I don't do is listen to them.
Yes.
And everyone wants you to do a podcast, don't they? Well, they want me to. And I don't often agree, Tom, but there was something about your wheeze of going through my Amazon account, which I thought might be fun.
Good. Well, I'm pleased that lured you in. I mean, you've fallen for a hook, line, and sinker, and I'm honoured that you're popping your podcast cherry with us today, Julian.
And what do we do then?
So the most important thing, the way we start every single episode, Julian, as well you'll know, because of course you listen, is we look at the first thing you ever bought. And this is the earliest appearance of one of our guests' own products that we've ever had. There's always a moment when our guests buy their own product. Nothing wrong with sampling your own produce. 21st of July, 2009, that's your first ever purchase. You've bought Devil in Disguise by Julian Clary. Hooray!
How embarrassing. I feel somehow exposed. yes, I know I bought that. I did only buy one copy.
Yes, you bought one. No, two copies.
Yeah, that's the one of all my... I've got to go to the shelf downstairs with my books on what I've written. And I don't have many of that one. I don't think the publishers sent me many, so I was obviously stocking up.
Yes. Well, you spent £15.32, so you were investing there.
Happy days.
Very happy days. Was that your first novel or no?
No, it was the second one. The first one was Murder Most Fab. The second one was Devil in Disguise. And the third one was Briefs Encountered. When you write a book, I think of marvellous titles like Dead Man Wanking.
Oh,
one.
Yes.
And To Catch a Fellating Star was another. But the publishers won't have it because they sell books in their supermarkets now.
Oh.
And everything has to be, supermarket friendly.
Can't you publish really nice accessible books with filthy innuendo titles, and then they can put the greyed out plastic around them and put them on the top shelf?
No, I don't think they will. And you don't have any say really on the cover design either, I've learned.
Right.
It's a terrible life, but there you are. I just write the books.
the pivot to book writing, what was that, please? Too lazy to keep doing stand-up? Just felt like sitting at home a little bit more? Why did you do that?
Well, I wrote my autobiography, A Young Man's Passage. And the publishers then said, how's about a novel? And like everyone, I always thought I could write a novel. I've got one in me, as it were. Mm. So I did. But I've always, if you'd have asked me when I was seven what I wanted to do when I grew up, I'd have probably said writing rather than stand-up comedy. Mm. So it felt like something I wanted to do. Yeah. And I really like the change of pace from being on tour or being in a TV studio or whatever, and then a few months at home writing by yourself. Lovely.
Yes, yes. You didn't miss the thrust and various smells of a live audience then.
Well, you do after a while, and then you finish the book and then you go back on tour. So
that's
I'm a
nice.
Bit like a field, a fallow field that lies fallow.
Oh.
And then it gets full of root vegetables. So you just you rotate your creative juices.
God, I love that beetroot. I love that metaphor. I was going to say a fallow field full of beetroot juices. I felt like there was a metaphor to get lost in there, but I've ruined it. It's a shame.
Yeah, I think you mentioned beetroot, not me.
I brought up beetroot. I don't know why I did that. It's fine, Julian. This is what happens on podcasts. Things go wrong, and you keep it in. It's a joy.
I know people love it.
They love it. They love it when you're crap. This is why I've really enjoyed podcasts. Selena Scott, 2nd of August 2009, A Long Walk in the Hills: The Story of a House, a Dog, and a Spanish Island. A little bit of Selena Scott for you here, Julian.
Oh, I don't remember buying that or indeed reading it or indeed receiving it. Perhaps there's some delay.
It's well, yes, maybe it's quite the delay. At the peak of her fast-paced career as a news presenter and interviewer, Selena Scott bought a house in the Tramuntana Hills in Mallorca. It was a ramshackle old farmhouse without even mains electricity, but the beauty and peace of the surroundings promised an idyllic escape from her high-pressure job.
Yes, I remember now. My sister lives in Mallorca, and I did a show called Celebrity Dog School, which I hosted, and Selena Scott was one of the contestants on it. And so I met her, and she adopted the dog that she had to work with on that show.
Yes.
So that's how that all came about. And I did read it. It was very good, actually. I remember now. It's all come back. The mists are clearing.
She's rather brilliant, isn't she, Selena Scott? And sort of brutally underrated in that way that she got sort of put out to pasture because she's a woman. And we've all come to terms with that now. And we're all doing our best to make sure that sort of thing doesn't happen anymore. But she really got that in the neck, didn't she? She was sort of retired at 40 or 35 or something ridiculous.
Yes. And when I met her, she's not very show busy. You know, she's very kind of dour and delightfully droll and real. You know, she's one of the real people. I won't hear a word against Selena Scott.
Yes, quite right. I wasn't going to say one. Don't worry, it's fine. This wasn't going to turn into a Selena Scott debate. I think she's excellent. Okay, good. All right, a long walk in the high hills, the story of a house, a dog and a Spanish lion. So only two purchases in 2009, Julian. So we'll barrel on through.
Okay.
Nothing in 2010. Oh, here we go, the barren years. Nothing in 2011. Oh, my goodness, look at this. Nothing in 2012. Have you been erasing your Amazon purchase history?
No, I just didn't ever fancy it. It was only, you know, recently when I got in the swing of it.
Yes. Well, look, here we are in 2013 now. It's the 28th of December. This is for Brenda Clary.
Oh, yeah, my mother.
It's on the 28th of December, like I say. So this has the whiff of a missed Christmas or a late Christmas present. You've bought her one Solar Queen. This is a
solar what?
A solar queen. You've bought her Majesty the Queen, but a solar powered version.
What is it then?
I don't know. It doesn't exist anymore. I'm trying to click through, but it says this page is no longer doesn't exist anymore.
I visit my mother a lot, and she often says, "Oh, I wish I had this or that."
Yeah.
Or I think of something she needs. So, you're going to find a lot of cherry juice because she suffers from gout, and I went through a phase. I read that cherry juice is the cure. So there's that excitement to look forward to.
I am looking forward to that. I've got a gouty mum as well, actually.
Oh, well, it's quite a kind of tart drink, but apparently cures gout. She discovered in the end, if she gave up sherry and started drinking gin, that would be a more, you know, faster route to healthy feet.
Yes, yes. And is your mum nearby? Do you have a close, geographically close relationship with her, or is she safely far away? Because mine's all the way over in Wales, which I think is a good distance.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear. Well, my mother's in that direction. She's in Swindon.
Oh, right. Gosh, well, I'm sorry to hear too. Very
yes, good, you know. I know. Mothers for you.
Gouty mums living out west. Oh, yeah, we've got something in common, Julian. We've got something in common. This looks incredible, though. It's a solar-powered queen. That's
how much was it?
Well, this shows how much you love your mum. £19.55.
I don't know what it is.
If you can imagine.
Oh, I know exactly what it is. Oh. It's one of those little models. She's still got it, of the queen. And on her handbag is a little tiny solar panel, and the Queen's hand waves. Have you seen them?
Yes.
Well, that's what it is.
I'm looking at it now, and it's absolutely delightful. It's absolutely delightful.
And I bought that because I bought her one before in a shop in the old-fashioned way, and she broke it, right. And she was upset. So I said, I'll get you another one. Oh, that's explained that one.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You see, this is a son looking after his mother. See, this is what we're learning about you already, Julian. You see how your personality is unfolding on the podcast.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of Brenda Clary on there.
All right, good. We'll keep an eye out for Brenda Clary with her solar-powered queen. I wonder if the real queen is solar-powered. That might explain why she still just keeps going.
Come back to the room now, Tom.
Okay. 2014, nothing. 2015, nothing. I love that you've bought nothing for years. You buy a solar-powered queen, then you leave. Leave Amazon alone again. Oh, here we are. 2016, and this is for you. Ah, look, here we go. A men's slimming vest. Instant weight loss. belly. Love handles remover. Hello.
Yes, I know. They don't work, I'm here to tell you. I was going on tour, and I thought, well, it's a bit snug in this outfit. And they look too good to be true, and they are. All it does is the fat is forced up around your neck, or you know, it's got to exist somewhere.
Yes, it can't make it disappear. That's impossible. It has to.
So you know. Your love handles might go, but then you've got a love neck.
Yeah, it's sort of a male corset that you got, or male Spanx, I suppose.
Yes, yeah, and so uncomfortable. I couldn't actually be funny wearing it either.
Terrible. I've occasionally worn a similar thing. I wouldn't say quite the thinning vest thing, but I've worn sort of like an elasticated shirt that's designed to make you look thinner. And I'll be frank, it's what we do on these podcasts, Julian. Very windy. They make you, if you eat with them in, you're putting, you know, it makes you very windy. It's all very trapped and condensed. It's not a nice feeling.
Oh, dear. Okay. Mm.
Just bear that in mind. That's what I'm saying.
Sounds like a heterosexual disorder to me, but...
it can spread across the sexual orientations, just to warn you. 2017, nothing again. Oh, this is a very easy episode, this. 2018, right, here we go. Only two things bought in 2018. Some Senecott tablets, some Senna tablets. I don't know what that is. And then
that was to get slim as well. I read somewhere that if you take laxatives, so they didn't work either. I don't think I took them actually. I couldn't bear the thought.
So you've tried to sort of vacuum pack it and shit it all out so far. These are the approaches.
That's one way of putting it. Yeah, I know. The only way is to actually go on a diet. I'm here to tell you.
Is there a secret that famous people get told about losing weight? Because I feel like all of my friends, as they became famous, got substantially thinner. And we came up with this sort of theory that someone takes them aside and just whispers, just eat less food or something like that.
Yeah, no, there's a celebrity dietitian who, when I did lose weight, it was because I went to her, called Amelia Freer. And she's a fabulous, rather saintly woman. And she just, you go and see her and she tells you what you already know, which is eat lots of food, fruit and vegetables, don't snack between meals, and don't drink alcohol. But she says it in such a way that you daren't disobey.
Oh, right.
And she's kind of mesmerizing. And that does work.
And is she very, very thin as well? Because that helps.
She's glowing within her health.
Oh, I love a glow.
She writes books about healthy eating, as you do. And she has lots of celeb clients.
Right. Okay. I always think that you need to be looking at a glower when you're trying to lose weight, because there's a few personal trainers near me who are quite on the larger side, shall we say? And you do think that... doesn't quite make any sense to me.
I have, years ago, I used to have a personal trainer. I had several, and I don't know if it's me or personal trainers, but they all ended up, I just became their counsellor. You know, they would say, oh, I have my trouble with my girlfriend. And so the half an hour or an hour would be spent with them offloading the thing, me giving advice. And then they would charge me 70 quid. So I put a stop to that.
Were you sort of doing press-ups and burpees whilst giving them therapy?
Well, occasionally, but sometimes they were too upset to even instruct me.
Are you one of those people? Do friends and loved ones come to you for advice? Are you a good pair of ears, Julian?
Yes, I've got very good advice, and I'm very good at counselling all my friends, and even people like you.
Oh, good. Oh, thank God. Well, I'll think of some problems. There's plenty available.
We like to listen to Toast, and we're not the kind who would boast. And even in spite of the host, we still like to listen to Toast. La, la, la.
1st of August 2018, you've gone for a nice harness for dogs. You've got a dog harness here, the Finn Nero from
what
Finland.
What date was that?
1st of August 2018, you got this.
Okay, that must have been for Albert, right? Mm,
very nice, very nice. Is that when Albert entered your life at that point?
No, I got him, he is now 12.
Okay, right.
So hang on, is that, I don't know, perhaps it was for Valerie. Anyway, a dog harness.
So dog harness there, that is in 2018. Dogs, obviously, a very important part of your life. I mean, they're the most important part of anyone's life. And if you don't realise that, then you're missing out. That's the way I approach dogs.
I tend to agree. I think I've just written a book called The Lick of Love. Not that I'm plugging, but I have. And my theory is that dogs are kind of sent to us from a higher force. Yes. And each dog has got something that it will bring to enhance your life. So Fanny the Wonder Dog, my first dog when I was 21, living in a bedsit in New Cross, she was sent, I was quite a sort of timid person, and she made me more adventurous. And then Valerie came along when I was very successful and taking lots of recreational drugs. And Valerie taught me to calm myself and be a bit more serene.
Oh, really?
Albert, yeah. Then Albert, when he arrived, was sort of, I was getting, well, I was 50, so it was sort of, you need to get used to the idea of middle age now. Yeah. And then Gigi is sort of mad fur bullet who taught me that love has no boundaries.
Each dog brings its own little package of lessons with it.
Well, that's what I kind of, I thought about it when I was writing the book. Yes. And once I hit on this theory of that's why an ethereal being sends you a dog. Because you know you've got to get the right dog. Someone once gave me a pug and I lived with it for 3 days thinking I've got to love this dog. And I didn't like it at all. And I had to send it away because I hadn't chosen it myself.
Right.
So yes, get the right dog. You allow your psychic juices to lead you to the right dog pound or yes. whatever.
Oh, yes, dog pound. Go and get the rescue ones. Always get the rescue ones. But obviously the pug, there's a lesson there because it taught you life is too short to spend it with the wrong person or creature, or wrong animal.
That was exactly the conclusion I came to. I phoned the person that gave me the pug and said, look, I can't live with this dog for the next 15 years. I just can't stand the sight of her. Please, will you come and take her away immediately? And they did.
Do you reveal your feelings about dogs when you meet dogs in the park and things like that? Because I often find myself talking to owners of various dogs, and there are certain dogs that I'm not a fan of.
Mm.
Pugs is a good example, where I, you know, you have to pretend to like them. Do you do that, or do you just make it clear that you're not a fan, or do you just stroke all dogs in the park? What's your approach?
No, I like all dogs. I mean, I like meeting all dogs, and I don't mind meeting pugs. I don't kind of run screaming. I just wouldn't want one. I didn't want that particular one. But
yes,
there's as you know, when you walk your dog, there's a whole community of dog walkers, and you communicate with each other through your dogs. It's quite interesting how we do that. In fact, when I did Strictly Come Dancing 100 years ago, I had Valerie at the time. So I was being taught how to do the quick step with Erin Bogue, my professional dance partner.
Oh, Erin. And she was married to Darren, wasn't she?
No.
Is that right?
That was Lilia Kopilova.
It was Lilia Kopilova. Yes, okay, good. Thank you. Good encyclopedic knowledge of Strictly.
Yeah, Erin was teaching me and Valerie was in the room, and we had one of these people, what's her name? Someone, she's still around, who does a body language analyst.
Oh, right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And she watched footage of us in the training room, and she said we were doing everything through Valerie. So I was saying to Erin, oh, Valerie's a bit tired. She wants to go home now. And Erin would say, no, Valerie wants you to get it right and then you can go home. So dogs are very useful, and I think people do that all the time.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. I remember my father, when I was growing up, we had two beautiful, beautiful mongrels. And when we had people over for dinner, he would just leap up at about 10:30. Boring man that he was, and announced the dogs needed walking, and that was the signal for everyone to leave.
Yes, quite right too.
Great system.
Yes, I think 10:30 is long enough for any visitors.
I think so. You get your anecdotes done by 9.
Yes, I'm tired of them.
Hello, it's Mr. P here.
I'm the other Mr. P,
and we are the hosts of Two Mr. P's in a Podcast.
The educational podcast where you don't actually learn a thing.
No, instead we explore the weird, wonderful and downright hilarious things that happen in school from people actually doing the job. We reminisce on our own time at school, funny things we experience each day, and of course we share your hilarious stories from the chalk face. So if you work in a school or just want a nostalgic trip down memory lane, sit up straight, fingers on lips, and get ready for the lesson.
Okay, good. All right, so we've learned a lot already. Julian Clary, if you want to keep Julian Clary out of your house, get a guard pug and he'll go running. This is good intel. 2019 now, Julian. This thing's take a slightly darker twist here.
Oh, dear.
You've gone, well, you've bought Gillian Flynn's brilliant I'll Be Gone in the Dark, great novel. But on the same day, this is the 6th of January 2019, perhaps New Year Blues. Ryan Greene's lovely, heartwarming book, Torture Mom.
Oh, yes.
A chilling true story of confinement, mutilation and murder.
I absolutely love true crime books. And I like...
Why, you absolute psychopath?
I like the really trashy ones. And there'll be lots more. I must have been going on holiday. When I go on holiday, I fill my suitcase with these awful stories of serial killers and murderers. And that's what I enjoy. I know.
Weird torture tourism.
Mm. That one's a very good one, actually. I think it's about a mother who trained her two sons to torture and kill people. Can you imagine?
Oh, well, I can, actually. I've got two boys and they're near enough to doing it already.
I think it's because it's beyond belief. You know, you think, how can people do that? I'm trying to understand it. That's my story.
Yeah, of course. We believe you. We believe you. But it is fascinating. It's proper. This is good rubbernecking stuff. This is what we like to do. Have a look at the gore on the side of the road. The Michigan Murders, the true story of the Silanti Rippers' reign of terror.
Ooh, if I said that right. Yes.
Who's your favourite Ripper? Who's your favourite serial killer, Julian? We've all got one.
Oh, I'd go for the Night Stalker. He was absolutely awful. There's a documentary about him on Netflix. That's, it'll keep you awake all night. Awful, awful man. Murdered loads of people in the 70s, I think, in Los Angeles and San Francisco. He would drive around at night and stalk people and break into their homes and kill them.
Wow. Oh, yes, there is that documentary on Netflix. Yes, I know the one you mean. Because have you watched Mindhunter on Netflix?
Yes, we like Mindhunter. Yes.
Oh, why was the 70s such a peak time for serial killers? Was it sort of a retort to the loving of the 60s? They thought, come on, let's do some fucking murders now.
Well, there's no need for language.
Sorry.
I think it'd be very difficult to be a serial killer now with CCTV everywhere and stuff. But the Mindhunters is all about the psychological profiling, isn't it? How you can, from a crime scene, work out the most likely person. Oh, this would have been a white man in his 30s, works on the radio, doesn't iron his shirt, you know, that kind of thing. And they'd be right.
Well, you said man in his 30s, so I'm clear. There was a whistle, let me tell you. But that you're right. It's the construing that's enjoyable, isn't it? It's when they extrapolate facts.
Yes, and I would say in my defense, I don't like true crime books where they don't catch the perpetrator. I don't like, my sense of justice is that they have to be caught and punished.
Yes. Yes. That is so important. Mm. That is so important. Okay, good. All right. So you're a fan of punishment. That's a relief to hear that. And then we come crashing into 2020.
Oh, yes. Okay. Stand by.
Stand by. Exactly. Well, it's not too bad. I've been completely distracted by something. Okay. This is absolutely bonkers. I was about to defend you.
What have you found?
It's just the weirdest thing. I was about to begin a speech about how you haven't bought that much stuff, and during lockdown we all used Amazon a bit more. And then I saw on the 12th of June 2020, you bought one, two, three, in fact, how many deluxe heavy-duty non-slip rubber door wedges do you think you bought?
About 24. And I'll tell you why.
Absolutely loads. Yeah, about 15 it says here, but yeah, go on.
Can you guess what they're for? You'll never guess.
Oh, this is a good game. So it's not some sort of... I assume they're not being used in their proper form. They're not being used for wedging doors open.
No, but it's not some sort of homosexual activity either.
I'm out in that case. I'm done.
I live in a house with sash windows, and I have window boxes with geraniums on them, and each window, there are three window boxes. However, the windowsill on which they sit is not straight. It's kind of slanted, I suppose, so the rain can drain off, which meant that my window boxes were leaning down. I didn't like it. And I hit on this brainwave of getting some rubber door wedges, which are still in place now. And
oh, good.
All of my window boxes are now on the level.
Oh, that's very pleasing. Are you quite a perfectionist in terms of things needing to be visually pleasing?
Well, maybe, but I'd lived with them on the slant for about 15 years until I suddenly thought, I think I must have been... What time of the year was it? June, did you say?
June, yeah. I mean, it's peak when the flowers are blooming and you don't want, no one wants wonky flowers.
No, and I think I just had enough. And once I had this brainwave, well, some of your listeners might have window boxes on the slant and they'll be very glad of that tip.
Well, this is exactly the thing. This is
and
what
they
we
were cheap,
find.
Weren't they? They're not very expensive.
No, but I can't believe they're not very expensive, but you still managed to spend £35 on door wedges.
Well, that
they
was
must have had
money well spent.
That's an extra large Christmas party at the door wedge factory after that, isn't it? That's a huge day for them. There's so many.
Yes, I know. They still send a Christmas card.
I bet they do. I bet they do. A triangular-shaped Christmas card, of course. All right. Okay, elsewhere in 2020, of course, the year of lockdown. So there's loads of things like masks and stuff and the continuing adventures into awful, awful stories. American Predator, the hunt for the most meticulous serial killer of the 21st century. While the world is on its knees, Julian Clary sits with perfectly straight flowers reading about murder.
Yeah. It's a distraction.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. But again, it has to, because the maths has to work with these stories. You have to have a pleasing resolution, don't you?
Yes, I think so.
And do you draw on these when you write your kids' books?
No, I don't. No, everything's lovely in the world of 8 to 10-year-olds who I write for. It's all, you know, they didn't need to know about that side of life.
No, quite right too, quite right too. That does seem like a strange segue into your kids' books. But you've been writing The Bolds for many years now, haven't you?
I have, yeah. The sixth one's just come out. So I think I've knocked one out most summers.
Very nice. Very nice for the kids. Okay, great.
Yes. yes, it's something I love. And, you know, when I have spent most of my adult life making filthy jokes about gay sex, frankly, and it was refreshing to go in an opposite direction and regress to being a child and write about a family of hyenas living disguised as human beings in Teddington.
It's a great idea. Why the disguise? Is there something? Why did you make these animals disguise themselves from the rest of society? Is there something you're doing? You disguising something from the rest of the world?
Well, aren't we all? But I think I wanted, everyone's got a secret, I think, you know, and so that was their secret, that they were hyenas. I like the idea of infiltration, you know, and helping other people, what they do. Now they are happily living as human beings and they have jobs. They help other animals who want to cross over. And they help them escape from zoos or whatever their difficulty, or even if they're just, there's Roger the sheep who just doesn't like living in a field. And I think he wants to work in a children's nursery. So they help them, they take them into their house and they teach these animals how to walk on their hind legs and how to use a knife and fork and most importantly, a toilet. And then they get a job and they send them off. And this sixth book is the Bolds Go Green, which kind of speaks for itself. But there's a skunk and an aardvark and a fruit bat, and they all escape from a zoo and they're trying to get to the Bolds, but they get lost and separated, and they end up with some eco warriors camping out in Parliament Square. It's quite an epic story. I won't tell you every twist and turn, but it's kind of like Gone with the Wind for children.
Oh, yes. Come on.
There you are.
I love it. But with hyenas involved. That's a perfect combination.
Yes.
And are you leaving these guys behind now? The Bolds are over. Are you going to be knocking something else out for the kids?
I'm going to write some other children's books, but I want to leave the Bold story there. This book finishes with a great big party in Bushy Park, and all the other animals from all the previous books come to celebrate the twins' 10th birthday. And as when I finished it, I thought, oh, that feels like an ending, you know.
Yes, yes. And do you get properly lost in your books, even when writing kids' books? Do you find yourself, is it an enjoyable experience just to withdraw yourself into that world?
It's lovely. And also with the Bolds, because I've been writing them for so long, they're all very much alive in my head, all the core family. So it's, you kind of just write down what they tell you. They speak to me in my head.
Wow,
and so it's not, I don't know, I'm not kind of scraping the barrel or desperately trying to think things up. I'm trying to shut them up most of the time.
It's fine. If you've got voices in your head, and a contract from a publisher's, then there's nothing wrong there. There's no problem.
They can't touch you for it. No.
They can't touch you for it. My wife's a writer. My wife's a novelist, and she's got voices in her head, but it's fine because she's writing books. So leave her alone. This is genius.
I will. Yes.
Genius ploy. Genius ploy. All right. Listen, we're crashing into 2021 now, Julian Clary, and it's been a pleasure catching up with you on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thank you so much for doing this. But don't think it's over, by the way, because there's still some weird stuff. Okay, so don't think that was the sort of coasting into the end of the episode. Thank goodness this is over. Because we've got on the 29th of January 2021, the HomCom LED electronic dartboard.
Oh, yes, that was for my mother. Because right. My mother is 89 and she would normally play bowls and petanque and get her exercise that way. But lockdown, she couldn't. And I thought, at least if we're playing darts, we can get her on her feet. And she's quite good at darts. And I got the electronic one because I thought it would save damaging her walls.
Mm.
That's the story behind that.
So you've got your 89-year-old mum up and playing darts. That's
genius. I know, while drinking gin.
That's full Last of the Summer Wine. I just think there's some sort of sitcom about an elderly lady's darts team.
I know. Oh. She's very good. She's very good indeed, but she's quite competitive.
Oh, really? Mm. Got a competitive mum? Because most people complain about the competitive dad syndrome.
No, it's my mother.
Ah, okay. So you're helping her with the gout and keeping her fit with darts. Okay, very good, very good, very good. We've also got a sign that we all went through this with longer hair. Men's slicked back headband. You've got a load of them, in fact, 27th of March as well. 8 pieces of metal hair hoop, flexible metal headbands. So you're covering yourself in headbands.
My hair was really long and I bought them really to annoy my husband because he said it would look ridiculous. Footballers wear them, don't they?
It's a Gareth Bale thing. Yes, with the you could do a top knot, Julian.
That's right. I was working up to, I've had it cut now a bit, but I've still got them and they're great. You know, they keep the hair in place and what fun.
You've still got all your hair. You're aging very well. I'm not saying you've aged because that suggests the aging process is finished, but you're aging very, very well. Can I, any secrets that we can construe from that?
I have an enema every day.
Thought so. I thought that's what you were doing at the beginning of this episode.
There you are.
Oh, you look a bit cross. I'll tell you what you have got, which is very nice. £129. So you've splashed out a bit here on the 9th of February. So maybe it's Valentine's Day. Cuisinart Soup Maker Plus.
Oh, it was. Was it for Valentine's? Was it for February?
10th of February, 2021. Yeah.
Well, I definitely bought it for my husband, but we don't really do Valentine's gifts. Anyway, he absolutely loves it. Having said, what a boring present. He does a lovely soup of a Saturday morning.
Oh, and, domestic bliss.
You can do risotto in it as well. So that was a very good purchase.
What's his best soup du jour?
Carrot and coriander.
Absolutely wonderful. Making me quite hungry. All right, well, we'll leave you with your soup. that sounds like something you say as you leave an elderly parent. I'll leave you with your soup, but we wouldn't do that with your mum. She's got her darts. You've got your soup. Roles have reversed. Julian Clary, thank you so much for joining us on My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Thank you, Tom, whoever you are.
and your first podcast experience, was that okay?
Well, yes, I feel broken in.
Great. Was I gentle?
You were very gentle. And it's a very good wheeze going through. You should do this on television, and I expect you will. It's a very good idea. Fascinating.
Take care. Thanks, Julian. Cheerio. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, I can think of no better way to end this series of My Mate Bought a Toaster than my guest saying, thank you, Tom, whoever you are. I enjoyed that a lot. Right, there we are then. That's it. That's the end of this series. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Hopefully see some of you at Latitude on Thursday, aka tomorrow night. Mark Watson, don't forget, is going to be my guest. I'll be on the listening post stage at 9:05. It'd be lovely to see some of you there. That'd be really, really great. And we have now got the supporter feature up and running on Acast. So if you click on the link, you can drop us a couple of quid to say thanks. That would be delightful if you get a sec. And if you've got a couple of quid to spare, thank you very much in advance if you do that. And that's it. We'll be back in a few weeks' time. I don't know how long I'm going to take off for summer. I haven't really thought about it. I'm on holiday for the next couple of weeks. Cornwall and North Yorkshire. See you there. And then I probably reckon we'll start. Should we go for new term? What do you reckon? Michaelmas? Yeah, a little bit of September action? Let's do that, shall we? In the meantime, if you've got any questions or anything, at ToasterPod on Twitter. Have a wonderful summer. Stay safe. Good luck with all this awfulness that's going on everywhere. I hope you're feeling chipper and good and happy as much as you can in these trying circumstances. See you soon. Lots of love now. I can't be the same always. I still love you, baby, I don't want you for the rest of my day. I won't ever say we're through. I won't ever say we're through. All I want, baby, is just a little kiss from you. All I want, baby, is just a little kiss from you. All I want, baby, is just a little kiss from you. GreatBigOwl.com. Hi, I'm Scott Hancock, and I host From Queer to Eternity, a new podcast exploring what it means to be queer, where we have conversations like this.
I look at younger generations and go, you can just Google this stuff.
The fact that the only mention of queerness was don't get AIDS.
If I'd been marrying a girl, that would not have happened.
Maybe we can find a universality that we weren't aware of before.
That's why this podcast is so great, because actually, well, I guess we just don't think to speak of this stuff, and yet it's part of our fabric.
From Queer to Eternity, available to listen to now from the Great Big Owl Company.